right. Hello and welcome back. This is OmniTalk Retail. I am Chris Walton.
And I'm Ann Mazinga.
And we are coming to you live from sunny Las Vegas once again.
Yes.
Day two, I believe, Ann.
Day two at NGA.
Of the NGA conference from the Vusion Group booth. Set it right this time. Booth number 1307. We'll be here for a few more hours. Stop on by, say hello. And I am pleased to announce our guest today, Ann. Our
yes.
guest today, standing in between us, not sitting, although I think we'd all like to be after 2 days of a show.
You are not wrong.
No, not at all. Standing between us are Michael Wang, the CEO of Searle, and Von Roller, the Chief Business Officer at Searle. How are you both today?
Very good, very good.
Very fine.
Are you excited that NGA is coming to an end, or...?
Oh, we would like it to keep going.
Keep
it's
going.
So wonderful.
Has it? That's great.
Yeah, we could keep going, and we're going to another one next weekend here, so we could keep going for the rest of the week.
As are we. Yes, you guys are going to be at Shop Talk next week as right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
not so sunny today, you know, for the audience to know.
Is it not? I just assumed that it was. I have not stepped foot outside. Thank you for noting that, Michael.
Well, why don't you give a little bit of background, Michael? Maybe we'll have you take that question on Searle and exactly, you know, how how the platform works for the retailers and independent grocers that you've been talking to NGA.
So probably the best place to start is Searle's name. It stands for Search in Real Life for a reason.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
What we do is we do a number of things as a company. We see ourselves as the most accurate and cost-effective real-time location system on the market. So mm-hmm. we track people and things across indoor and outdoor environments very accurately and very scalably. Particularly in retail, the exciting opportunity is tracking shoppers' journeys inside a store. And we do so in a very unique way. We tag the shopping baskets and shopping carts with low-cost Bluetooth emitting tag.
Okay.
And the infrastructure necessary to pick up those tags and triangulate and position those tags are uniquely scalable because they happen to be wireless. Most of the solution, I would say all of the solutions on the market right now requires extensive wiring. Mm-hmm. We can set up an environment without a single piece of wiring. Mm-hmm. So we can go in an environment set up very, very quickly. And the two metrics that kind of define who we are is we get about 3 feet level accuracy of exactly where those carts are inside a store and 1 second level of latency. This will come into handy as I'm sure you guys ask me more questions about why that's important.
100%. But I want to step back a little bit too, because back in our Store of the Future days, when I was setting up Store of the Future, I used to always like to say that physical movement through a physical store is almost an analog for a Google search term, if you stop and think about it. So I love the name you've come up with there. So explain that. Explain why that idea is right or wrong, because I'm guessing you believe in what I just said, but explain that for the audience.
Can you repeat this? Clarify again?
Yeah, that physical movement through a store, the pathing through the store, is basically the same. If you can understand the data and you can attribute it to the shopper, it's basically the equivalent of a shopper going in and typing in a Google search term.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what we, I think one of the cheesy taglines we had at very, very beginning many years ago was we're the Google search engine for the physical world. You know, we came a long way as a company to get to the version that we are now. Many years ago, 6-7 years ago, we did build that search engine. Our company was focused around a mobile app for a retailer, we would build them a mobile app or they have a mobile app, we would integrate our technology with them. They would type in, a customer could type in where milk and cereal is and we would help them navigate. That's how it all started, right? Google.
Yeah.
But now it's taken a different twist. It still is Google in that way, right?
Yeah.
Searching, but it's less for, I think what has happened is shoppers just aren't downloading and using mobile apps in the store as the market thought it would. But what is changing is as big as e-commerce is, physical stores is still 85% of the market. And the ability to actually know where shoppers are in real time and with companies like Vusion, with the electronic shelf labels and the Engage platforms displays, is you guys in partnership, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
Together we can serve ads to shoppers in the real world, those 85% of the market, and serve ads with 1 second level latency, going back to the original metric I gave you.
Yeah.
So knowing exactly where shoppers are and changing ads very, very quickly, and that's the new Google.
Right. Yeah.
And tracking 80 to 85% or more of the shoppers, where when we were relying on the mobile phones was closer to 5%.
Yeah. Vaughn, well, I love that you said that, because I think as a mom who used to have small children and who is a big part of the demographic of a lot of the major retailers and grocers, especially right now, you don't always have that phone that you're holding on to while you're shopping.
No.
Your kid's watching a show, or you don't have the hands free to be able to shop in that manner. So I think this is really cool, just how you're able to track this without requiring the use of of someone being on their phone or emitting Bluetooth.
Absolutely. And as a mom, and as just regular civilian in general, the idea, like, not needing to worry too much about the privacy, because I think this is the point of it. Like, these companies, as we're seeing here, people who live and breathe our field kind of understand how hard of a business it is for Amazon, with Amazon competing and with, and so forth.
Yeah.
These local grocers need an upper hand.
Yeah.
And how do we do so and give them an upper hand without creepy technology, quite
frankly?
And so that's the middle ground we've been able to capture.
Well, Vaughn, tell us a little bit, too, about what the conversations have been like with the grocers that you've talked to at this show. How are they thinking about bringing this type of technology into their stores? What questions have they been asking?
They're asking two kinds of questions, and we show them, as Michael mentioned, the diversity of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know where everything is and when it's there, what time of day, what day of the week, and we can look at the behavior of most of our shoppers in this way without invading privacy, and by looking at how we could potentially communicate with them better. But let's not forget for a moment, and what comes up very often as the first question is, I'm more interested in improving my own operation.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do a better job of delivering the best shopper experience that I can.
Right.
I want to take care of my customers.
Right.
That's how I build loyalty. And I want to look at that. And the other, as a retailer, as competitive as the market is and as thin as my margins are, I'm concerned a bit about what's the return on this investment if I buy into this to basically help me improve my operation and be more competitive and provide a better shopping experience. Mm-hmm. What we have now been able to do with Searle is to provide the opportunity to not only provide a very, very fast, often less than 1 year or 12 month payback on internal operations, internal merchandising, better margins, etc., better, larger basket sizes, because we're able to put things where they should be so people can buy them, and we're also able to communicate with them about where things are and so on. Importantly, is as great as that return on investment is, being good retailers, we're always looking for, is there a revenue opportunity?
Yes.
Right.
So what we are able to do now with all the activity and all the excitement about retail media networks,
mm-hmm.
particularly for how do independents take advantage of that to add revenue to the top line and thus the bottom line for retail, is that we are able to, through the ability to understand where shoppers are and where they're going, we can deliver appropriate advertising content to them within the store at the point of decision making. So it's an incredibly rich opportunity for retailers to take advantage of both sides of it and to get their return very rapidly and improve those bottom line margins very significantly.
But that's a great point too, Vaughn, because a lot of times people jump to the end of like, oh, let's tap into the retail media network. Let's serve up marketing content in aisle as they're shopping. We saw it with beacons initially. That was the first use case for those. You saw how that went. But there's still a grounding that we should all have in the industry to still make sure that they're helping us operationally too, because pathing through the store as a former merchant helps you understand where your shoppers are going. And again, like I said, it's like an analogy for search. Like if I'm standing in front of the cereal aisle looking for a specific brand of cereal, it's like I'm typing that into my browser. So, but let's talk about how you guys do this.
Okay.
All right. So Michael, what does the device look like? I mean, you can show it to our audience live, and then if you can describe it for those maybe listening at home later that are just listening to the audio, that'd be great too.
Absolutely. Well, our device is uniquely wireless, and I'll hold it up right here, as you can see. The way the system works is the baskets, the tags on the baskets have Bluetooth emitting tags. Mm-hmm. So the system, the system, we like to think of it as an indoor GPS system, just like how GPS systems works with having satellites positioned in space, mm-hmm. and they communicate with anything back on Earth with a satellite chip on it, like your phone. This system works analogous to that, so you would need quote-unquote satellites indoors to communicate with those tags. These satellites create that constellation of wireless signals that can accurately triangulate our baskets down to 3 feet level accuracy. And most of the solution, again, require a lot of wiring, and I'm going to hold it right here. Our satellites, quote-unquote, are wireless. So you could literally zip tie, strap them underneath existing lighting in a grocery store. We fit pretty much all of the different formats of lighting in an environment. In a case where you have drop-down ceiling panels and so forth, or track lighting, we have other we have similarly cost-effective, scalable solutions to support those as well.
Right.
So it's all about scalability, and that's what I'm holding up right now.
Got it.
Michael, what I love about this and what you just said too, Vaughn, is that I think especially one thing that we've learned from talking to some of the independent grocers here is that what the big guys are doing, what the Walmarts are deploying when it comes to ESLs and using all of the technology that we see in this Vusion Group booth is is not quite attainable right away for some of these independents, but they need to be exposed to it. They need to be thinking about it. And if I'm understanding you correctly, you know, not having to require a physical smart cart in order to start tracking some of this information or to serve up retail media, you're giving independent grocers the opportunity to just start by developing an ROI with tracking, with knowing where to even put, you know, hard tags on your products in the shelves, in the aisle. Is that what you're hearing from them, as like this is kind of a crawl, walk, run approach to like really getting to the full point of what we're seeing in the Vusion booth here of a completely connected store?
Yes, that's exactly what we have encountered. And it is so easy to start the deployment of the system and to take advantage. This is typically installed within a traditional supermarket in a day.
Wow,
that's
okay.
How long it takes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a very simple and easy and cost-effective process, and we can begin to instantly see what is happening in these stores, and we don't have to be there physically in every store every minute to see it.
Right.
And we can start to think about how would we re-merchandise. Where do we put secondary displays of brands, for example, to basically take advantage of exposure in areas where shoppers may be dwelling and waiting for to have a sandwich made, for example. So it's so important to think about. And then as it extends, I think one of the most eye-opening things for me after many decades in retail and retail technology is that I'm able to go to any point and look on a screen and look at a point in a store and understand where all the traffic came from that is going to that store, that is looking at, but maybe not buying, but also knowing what they did buy.
Right.
And maybe most importantly, where are they going next? Mm-hmm. Which type of shopper is going where? So without having to know the individual privacy-invasive identification of each shopper, we can characterize and cluster behavior of shoppers and their missions in the store, and we can produce communications for them at the appropriate place. So if they're going to four different areas predominantly, let's give them four messages that can help them in those next places.
Yeah.
Or let's make sure our shelves are merchandised correctly in those four places too, right? Back to your other point. So one last question, then we'll get you out of here on this. Seems like Bluetooth's having its day in the sun as of late. Why do this with Bluetooth versus, say, like RFID, Michael?
Absolutely. I'm an engineer prior to getting into the retail space, and so we spent a lot of time doing the cost-benefit analysis of all of the different types of RF signals on the market. Bluetooth is the most ubiquitous. Without turning this into a whole technical lesson here. Bluetooth is on your phones. It's and it's ubiquitous, which means the cost is can be kept to be one of the lowest, and it's also one of the lowest energy expenditure, which means it gave us an upper hand in making it solar powered, and it also enables us has all the right sauces pieces in it to allow us with our very our patented very sophisticated algorithms to make it a very accurate, very low latency. RFID is answering that question is specifically a more of a gated system, and so you want to create a you wouldn't be able to create a constellation of continuously knowing where things are. It's more used for if you put an RFID reader in the front of the store, tag all your products for theft prevention. But it you know to if you want to track your shopping carts, the amount of readers you need to put to get that 3 feet level of accuracy continuously throughout the store,
especially
is
continuously,
not,
right?
Yeah,
yes.
It's not possible,
right?
Or infeasible.
That makes
very
sense.
Very expensive
and sustainable.
Yeah. Yes, exactly, exactly. Well, thank you both so much, Michael, Vaughn. We really appreciate you sharing Sterl with our audience. Thanks once again to Vusion Group for your help in supporting all of our coverage here from NGA. We have one more interview to go here, and that will wrap us up. But to everybody who's been listening and following along with our coverage so far, and until next time.
Be careful out there.